Grant and Danny welcoming you back on the Fan. Caller 10 is promised, 800-636-1067. Congrats, you're going to win two tickets to see the Caps Friday, November 29th against the Islanders. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event information, go to thefandc.com/contest. Our Beltway Blitz to feature the Caps, the Wizards, and the Commanders. So let's get it going. John Walton is the voice of the Caps. You can hear him on 106.7 The Fan every time they play. They've got a 7 o'clock puck drop tonight at home against the 10-9 Colorado Avalanche. The Caps are 13-4-1. John, when are we going to find out more about Alex Ovechkin? It sounded like they were going to say more than they have to this point, and that has not happened yet.
I feel like something's coming. It's just kind of my sense of it. And, you know, whatever the timeline, and the one thing I guess I'm encouraged by from what I've heard so far is that it's not season ending. That to me is, you know, dodging a little bit of a bullet by things that it could have been, but obviously it's not great. And, you know, we're trying to see starting tonight, you know, what this team's going to look like. I am kind of encouraged in the sense that this team is a lot better than last year's team, that you have pieces that can be moved around. You're getting a lot of goals from a lot of different places, including the blue line. I mean, Jacob Chychrun alone has certainly changed things back there. As long as you are still able to get the kind of offense that we've seen through the first quarter of the season here, I think it's something that they can withstand. It's obviously not ideal, but, you know, hopefully we know something soon, and then we'll go from there.
I should probably turn my mic on. My joking tongue-in-cheek prediction is that after he plays, we'll find out that he played. John Walton with us here on the Beltway Blitz. But in terms of, you don't replace him, obviously, you know, however long he's out for, John, but how do you expect the lines to be deployed here this evening and maybe a little bit going forward?
Well, I think you're going to see a few different looks, and Spencer Carberry talked about that a little bit yesterday, but tonight it's going to be Andrew Mangiapane to start. He's going to skate with Dylan Strome and Alexei Protas, which basically leaves the Dubois line with McMichael and Wilson. They're still together. You're going to have Henrik Lapierre draw in and play the wing tonight. Ivan Marochnichenko was recalled yesterday, but he won't play tonight. It's going to be Hendricks on the left side with Eller, and the fourth line remains the same. Now, Brandon Duhaime, I don't think, is 100%. He has been pretty banged up here the last couple of games, but best that we can tell, he's going to go tonight, and he's going to be all right. But certainly ailing, and I think, you know, the reason I bring that up is because Nathan McKinnon is pissed with what went on in the game on Friday in Denver. No shots, minus two. No one does that to him. So him coming in angry, and Cale Makar and Mikko Rantanen, I mean, this is a group that is very they certainly want to lay the lumber to the Caps on what happened to them last Friday. So them coming in motivated, you're going to need that checking line to be in tip-top shape tonight. Might see Dubois' line take a few more D-zone shifts than normal, but all in all, I mean, I think pound for pound, they'll be ready for him.
John, how good is this team right now, and how good can we expect them to be in the weeks ahead if Ovechkin's not on the ice?
I mean, I think they can still continue to win hockey games and do it through goaltending, defense, and they still can score some goals. I mean, Connor McMichael, no points in his last two games, but has obviously shown that he's on an entirely different level now. I think Pierre-Luc Dubois is well past due. I don't think there's a more snake-bit guy in the NHL at this point. The analytics say that goals expected here should be much higher, and it's not through lack of trying, and it's not through, you know, the rest of his game has been excellent defensively. He basically told McKinnon what to do on Friday night, and it was a brilliant display. Those pucks are going to start going in. So I think if you're looking for a little bit of offense there, you've got the stuff from the back end. John Carlson, it looks like on paper he hasn't scored in 12 games, but he's had two goals taken away that he should have had, I think. So he's getting chances and looks and getting stuff in. I think you've got a real opportunity to get more from the blue line. And then I think it's just a little bit more from everywhere else. You're not going to make up number eight in terms of goal scoring. I mean, you can tread water. I think where he really has missed, fellas, is the stuff like right now, like 2-3 hours before the game, you know, dragging guys into the fight in the room. You see the videos that we play here, you know, the live cam in the tunnel before they come on. I mean, he's a guy who's always coming around and, you know, chest bumping guys and all that stuff. That's the part where I think they're really going to miss him. And I think that emotional lift, that's where you've got to, you know, really draw collectively as a group and say, hey, listen, we're going to go win this for this guy.
John, thank you as always, man. Have a great call tonight.
Thank you.
Talk soon, my friend. Hit that wizard sounder, Darius. Our guy Varun Shankar of the Washington Post joins us to talk about the Wizards because he covers the Wizards. They don't play tonight, Varun. They play tomorrow. But last time they did play, Brian Keefe was ticked off, huh?
He was not happy. Brian Keefe is usually a very patient, very mild-mannered guy when he talks to the media. And, you know, he sat down immediately, you know, got into a statement, and then ended it just, you know, after 2 minutes, basically. Basically saying, I got nothing else to say.
What were your expectations for this team coming into the year, and how has their performance to this point matched that?
I think the expectations were that they would struggle to find wins. This is still a team that's very early in its rebuilding stage. I'm a little bit surprised at some of the defensive struggles they've had, which the more I think about it, I don't know how fair it was for some of the, I mean, I expected them to be in defensive rating to kind of jump up to that 15 to 25 range, to be honest. And a lot of that came from the fact that they added a lot of size with the three rookies, and especially Sar would have a outsized impact. Looking back, I think that might have been putting a little bit too much or dismissing too much how hard it is for rookies to learn how to play defense. And I think we've seen some of those struggles so far. I think they're a little bit under the expectations I sent, but those might have been a bit high.
What's the latest on Koulibaly's health?
Yeah, so he is in the concussion protocol, but was a full participant in practice today, so bodes well for a return sometime in the near future.
What do you need to see in terms of growth, just areas where individually, if you want to go that route with their young players, or collectively, you need to see this team make some strides, even in a year where we're expecting and okay with them losing?
I think the collective is where I'd like to go, and it's going to be just Keith played a pretty big card after the Knicks game in calling out his team publicly. Do they respond? They've said all the right things in the time since, said everything about how, you know, they need to look in the mirror. They've had a really tough and, like, you know, good, like, a chippy couple of days of practice. Guys have been really competitive. Does that translate against the Celtics, who are obviously a very imposing test? And not just that game, but for the next couple of weeks, for the next, you know, as we go through the rest of the season, do we see good habits being formed? Because that's something that, you know, Keith and the entire front office has talked about repeatedly, is how much this season is about laying a foundation and building habits. So far, and, you know, Keith wanted to limit his comments to the last two games, but you can see just the overall defensive numbers, they haven't been there on defense. And if there's an effort and there's a competitiveness problem that Keith pointed to in those last two games, the Pistons loss, I think he had specific issues with the second half, and then the Knicks game, those can't continue if you're trying to lay a good foundation.
Varun, great with us as always, buddy. Appreciate it. Have a good weekend.
Same to you. Bye.
See you, my friend. Hit that local 53 sounder, Darius. Get my pronunciation guide ready. Just a quick bit on the show sheet. We'll put pronunciations down for everybody just to make sure that we don't stumble over error or do something stupid like I've done in the past. So Darius wrote out how to pronounce JP Flame's name. I thought that was really funny, and it popped me here. JP Flame with the Junkies joins us here on G&D. JP, let's talk about the Local 53. They play Dallas this weekend. 10.5-point favorites. What do you need to see to feel good?
Well, they cannot have a letdown, I think, offensively. That will be a big debate. You know, you guys deal with this. We deal with this. There's that narrative of the Cliff Kingsbury swoon in the second half as a head coach and as a coordinator. The offense hasn't been firing like it did earlier this season. They've had 11 punts in the last two games. So I think we need to see the offense clicking like it did the first nine games.
How do you feel about Sunday against Dallas?
I think it's set up for them to actually succeed a lot. We got to see Dallas on Monday night. They're a defense that can't stop the run. So I would imagine that you're going to see a heavy dose of Brian Robinson, Austin Ekeler, and they should be able to get right, get into the high 20s or the 30s offensively.
I should turn my mic on again. I keep turning it off for some
reason,
JP.
I'm not in the studio.
I'm scuffling.
So when you do that, I think something's wrong.
It's so disconcerting.
I need you to get your S together.
Yeah, it's twice this segment, JP, I've just been talking and wondering why isn't JP responding? Or there's the reason. I literally wasn't talking with my mic on. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. So how much do you put on, if you're making a pie, you know, Cliff Kingsbury was even talking about Jayden Daniels was banged up or was, you know, maybe more in pain. Daniels was saying that he keeps getting treatment or whatever on the sideline because a certain part of his body gets cold. I don't know about any of that. Just seems to me he was bothered a little bit by injury. How much stock do you put into that with his recent performance?
I don't put that much. I know a lot of the listeners of the Fan are putting it all on the injury, and I know that you are a doubter, a skeptic of what the coach Dan Quinn says, but it seems to me that the narrative about his injury wasn't as loud after the Bears game. It wasn't as loud after the Giants game. It wasn't even that loud after the Steelers game. But then all of a sudden, they had a lack of success against the Eagles, the number one defense, if you look in terms of yardage, and then people started blaming it on the injury. I think the opponents probably had the most. If you want me to do the percentage game, the pie game, I put 50% on the opponents. Let's put 45% on Jayden Daniels himself for just maybe playing like a rookie, maybe just regressing to where he's going to be. And then the other 5% you can put on Cliff Kingsbury, you can put wherever you want.
Hey, JP, next segment we're going to take calls on whether this is the breakout game for Daniels and if he gets back to balling or if it's more of the same of these last couple of weeks. What's your take on that?
I mean, I think you want him to get back to balling. I think you're going to see it to a certain extent. What I'm guessing about Jayden Daniels, look, we've only seen him for 10, 11 games, right? Cakes likes to take away the one start, which he basically only played a couple plays. So if you want to say 10 games, that's fine. He doesn't seem like he's going to be the quarterback that's dropping back 50 times and throwing for 400 yards. That's just not the style of this offense. So I think a good Jayden Daniels game would be, guy doesn't commit many turnovers, only has 3 interceptions, right? So a touchdown or two, give me 45 yards rushing, 210 yards passing, you're going to be okay. We posed a question, and I can ask you guys, do you think style points matter in this game? I think they do in terms of confidence for fans, but what do you think?
It does for me, JP. For them, they're counting wins, they're going to the postseason. They think differently than I do, but for me, to feel comfortable that we didn't just have a nice start and we're not kind of in the middle of that regression or, you know, Daniels is maybe coming back to the pack, if they beat the brakes off of Dallas and he looks awesome, a lot of my fears and reservations will be quelled.
Grant, do you want style points?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't need them, but I think they should beat the Cowboys by 10 to 15 points. And if they don't, right, I think they'll play down. This is a terrible team without a quarterback. Short week. Washington's got a long week of prep. And this sets up to be a game you should win handily.
Do you know how many yards passing Cooper Rush had against the Eagles?
It's like 300 almost, right? Or no, the Eagles.
A couple of weeks when they were actually
45.
Like, yeah, it was like 60 something. I thought, yeah,
45.
That's rough.
That's a low number. If you're looking at numbers,
you gotta beat the brakes off that guy.
Yeah,
I mean they're just not that good. Hey JP, we appreciate you and thanks to Darius. We know how to say your name.
JP you, Flame. Buddy. Yeah, that's how you do it.
Thanks, boys.
See you, dude.
See you, brother. Listen to the Junkies, brand new show. They got a good thing going. They might last
chemistry
a little
on that
while.
Show.
6 a.m. every single morning here on The Fan. You already heard me tell JP what our next topic is. Is this the week that Jayden gets right and breaks out, feeling better about that rib? Does he get back to balling like he did early in the year? Or is this more of the same of the last couple of weeks? That's next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Back live on the Fan, we're Grant and Danny. Jaden Daniels and the Washington offense have the spotlight squarely on them as they get ready for the Cowboys after back-to-back weeks where there was a regression because the expectation was that it wasn't going to go as smoothly as it was early in the year all season long for Daniels and Kingsbury and the offense. I don't think anybody should be stunned that it didn't go perfectly against great defenses, Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. But there are other concerns. Has the league started to solve the Kingsbury riddle, something that was perceived as an issue in Arizona? Have defenses caught up to Jaden Daniels a little bit? Is his rib affecting him? There's all kinds of different things people are worried about. So the question now is, with a bad team coming to town, the Cowboys, and a defense that has not played that well recently coming to town. Remember, Danny, they gave up touchdowns of 77 and 44 to players that were untouched on their first drive this past week because one of them got called back for penalty. Is this the week that Daniels gets right and bounces back and puts up a huge week and wins Rookie of the Week again and everything is hunky-dory? Or do we expect kind of more of the same as this offense tries to get back to where it was several weeks back?
I think it's more of the same, unfortunately. And it's going to lead us to more questions than answers.
Why?
I think they win the football game, but I think it's because Dallas messes up more so than Washington is a juggernaut. I think the word's out. I think the blueprint is there. I think because they don't have, because they're limited in certain places and their best receiving option outside of Terry McLaurin is Austin Ekeler out of the backfield, there's just not that much that you're going to be able to do. They'll be able to run. They'll do fine. But it'll be a little bit more attrition than it is dominant wire-to-wire performance like we saw against Cleveland or Arizona or the offense like we saw against Cincinnati. I just think the word's out. I think the blueprint is there to slow down and take some things away, and they'll be taken away. Even though Dallas is terrible and wants to quit, they'll shoot themselves in the foot. Just give them a chance, and that's why Washington's going to win the game.
Wow. So when you say the word's out, is your fear that Kingsbury's riddle has been solved or that Daniels' film has gone around the league enough that adjustments have been made to quell his excellence, or both?
So it's a little bit less on the Daniels front. My thesis is twofold. One is the Kingsbury part. I'm a believer there in the sense that I think it's even within the nuances of misdirection and play calling and some of the things that he does, it's nothing bad. But I think, Terry McLaurin's on the left, and we'll sort of figure out the rest, right, in terms of formation design. I think teams have kind of figured out their tendencies, what they want to do, and I don't know that there's a counterpunch coming. That my hope was that he took his sabbatical of being in the Far East and then as a college special assistant, whatever his title was at USC, to reevaluate and go through some of the same things that Dan Quinn did. By all accounts, he did. So I'm hoping there's a counterpunch at some point. But right now, my worry is we're now seeing defenses having a pretty good idea what to do. I don't think it's a we know what Jaden Daniels can and can't do. I think it's they don't have enough great weaponry to be able to counter some of the things that defenses are going to try to take away. So in other words, if you got someone that can D-up Terry McLaurin, like Quinyon Mitchell did this past week against Philadelphia, or if you're somebody else, you bracket and shade coverage that way, your second-best receiver got cut by Houston. Your third-best receiver has been on seven teams in 7 years, and Luke McCaffrey's open some, but they don't really look for him. Like, there's not a threat there. Defenses aren't threatened by that group. I think that's what's at its core here.
So my homework tonight is going to be to dig in on Kingsbury's numbers, first half against second half. So if you're listening to the show tomorrow, you'll get a full report. And by the way, if you're listening to the show tomorrow, you should listen to it in person.
Do it in person.
We're going to be at the Casual Pint in Falls Church for our Friday field trip. We've got great prizes that we're giving away tomorrow. Live show, 2 to 6:30 for our field trip series back in Virginia at Falls Church. So come on out and hang out with us tomorrow. The first thing and the easiest thing for me to grab was just, honestly, to pull up box scores and look at the points scored in his last full season as the head coach. And in his first 7 games, Cliff Kingsbury calling plays for the Cardinals, Arizona scored 225 points, which was an average of 32 per. And in his last 7 games, it was 162 points, which was an average of 23 per. Massively different. Now, that is not an end-all, be-all. Doesn't tell us were there defensive touchdowns. Doesn't tell us was it a 10-yard drive after a takeaway or a 91-yard drive. So there's other better ways to figure out how efficient the offense was, and I will sink my teeth into that tonight after my altcast, which you can watch on Monumental Sports, the Caps and the Avalanche, 7 p.m. tonight. Myself, Brent Johnson, Tarik El-Bashir. But I think there's something to Kingsbury's offense getting figured out. I think this year is different enough that Daniels and the way he'll use him is different enough that the variations in the run game that he uses that are so multiple are going to keep teams guessing. So even if there's going to be a little bit of a natural regression like there's for a lot of teams when you have a lot of tape to study, and for him maybe that's a little bit exacerbated and worse, I don't think it's going to be a major issue, which is why I actually, Danny, think this is the breakout. I think that they're going to score 30-plus points perhaps. I think I said the other day 27 to 30. But if you're telling me it's either like 22 or 32 or 35, I would think they're into the mid-30s. I think they're going to move the ball against a team that just feels like there's not a whole lot of fight left from Dallas. That's not how they're playing defensively. They're not getting after people and really playing physical, frisky football. So I'm counting on the Daniels breakout. Sounds like more than you are. And we can open up the phones on this at 800-636-1067. Is this the week that Jaden gets right, or is this another week of some struggles? I want to play a little audio from Kingsbury today, though, because he was asked about a lot of things, but the rib injury came up, and the fact that it sounds like maybe Daniels is further removed from the injury and feeling better. And I want to play that audio in a moment. But this is Kingsbury talking about why they've struggled and haven't executed over the last 2 weeks. Cut one, Darris. Him discussing his offensive problems as a coordinator, what he sees, and what they've got to improve.
In what regard? Obviously, the Thursday night game was not our best. But like when you just overall execution, you say? Yeah, I think there's a lot of things. Played two really good defenses, first off. And then just having the ability to be on the practice field, continue to get reps together and build. I think this is the first week we've been able to do that consistently as a unit, put in a full week. And so hopefully that pays off. But, you know, still had a chance in the fourth quarter. Our guys battled even when we weren't playing our best, which I appreciated. But just nailing the details, calling better plays. I mean, overall, collectively as an offense, we can be better. And I think a week of real practice will help that.
I don't know if you heard at the beginning of his answer there, Danny, but there was like this slight dismissiveness. It was a pretty easy to understand question about the struggles in the last two games. And he kind of was like, yeah, we didn't play well against the Eagles. Obviously saying he thought the performance against the Steelers was better. And maybe he'd hang his hat on 27 points. But there's no reason to sugarcoat. They had 240 yards in that game. They had 4.1 yards per play on 60 plays. They had a net passing of about 180, which would rank near the bottom of the NFL. That was not a good offensive performance. He seemed to take a little issue with the idea that it's two straight games where they haven't played well on offense.
Yeah, so I understand him bristling. I mean, if you're directly criticizing almost via the question or via sentiment, the product that he's responsible for over the last couple of weeks, you might get defensive about it. But, yeah, I'm with you. I mean, objectively, they didn't play as well on offense. And people go, well, they scored 27 points. Well, again, it's always about nuance. The team did after a failed punt where the guy dropped it and they got the ball at Pittsburgh's 15. They did score a touchdown there. To their credit, it wasn't a field goal. There was another short drive in that game as well that they did. So there's a lot more three and outs, a lot more punting here of late. The offense just hasn't looked as crisp. They don't look as threatening. If you could tell me over the last four games, including the Chicago game, that offense looked as good as it did the previous month, then I got all sorts of property to sell you in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. You know what I mean? Like, come on, dude.
I thought generally, did you agree with this for the presser, that he was defensive about things that maybe he doesn't agree are problems? And what I mean by that is, you know, the narrative that your offense is a regress in the second half come up. He doesn't really believe that. I'll give you another example here, and we can actually play the clip. It was on his reaction to an opposing defense exposing his tendencies. I think this is the clip where he's like, well, I don't really know what you're talking about. Help me out. What are my tendencies? You know, if you've ever followed, I mean, your best friend is Peter Schrager, who's in the media. Like, you are well aware, at least that's what Schrager said. I don't know if that's true or not.
It's a one-sided source.
I mean, Schrager claims it in the morning, most mornings. But, like, you're tight, right? You know what's going on in the media. I think you know what the narratives are. But he acted like, can you explain it to me? But this was that clip.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I can't tell you that. That would be because then teams may use it against me. So
I got you.
Especially this week. But, yeah, definitely got to get him the ball more. So yeah. A tendency of not getting him the ball, we got to get him the ball more. I'll say that.
So that didn't include when he asked, like, what tendency are you referencing, kind of what I was leading to. Look, Kingsbury's done an amazing job. This is not a beat-up Cliff Kingsbury segment.
No.
I think he's been awesome. I think he should be a head coach in the league. I hope he's not, by the way, because that would be bad news for Washington. But he is a offensive savant. I'm willing to say that at this point. I wasn't necessarily sure how this would go. I think it's gone very, very well. But there are things clearly that in the second half of seasons that I'm sure if you go back and study it that you want to do better. And maybe it's just not something he's willing to talk about or doesn't want to talk about at the podium. I hope that's the case and not, you know, his – I hope he doesn't really think, well, it's not a bad thing if my guys are on the left all the time. It's not a – maybe he just disagrees that that's the case.
Well, obviously,
right?
Sure he does because he hasn't made any changes. So, I mean, you think of Dan Quinn's approach to everything, both in terms of, if you remember the story about him in the offseason – over the years, where he wanted brutal evaluations of him and the job he did as a head coach, and in all aspects, he had this comprehensive sort of self-consulting evaluation, asking media members, former coaches, whatever, to try to improve. Kingsbury took a similar approach, maybe not to the same kind of level. When Dan Quinn knows that there's something out there, he'll get up there with his hat on, not forwards, mind you, backwards, and tell you, just want to get this out of the way, right up front. Jaden's fine because he knows everyone's talking about it. He confronts it right away. Cliff Kingsbury, on the other hand, all it would take is a profootballreference.com/Cliff Kingsbury, look at his career, and to go, oh, would you look at that? The numbers in December and January are not as good as the numbers in September and October. This is not a mystery, right? This is not some sort of hidden bit of information that Nicolas Cage is trying to get along with the Declaration of Independence. All right, we got this. This is easy access. Every pudgy rube like me has found it and going, hey, I just hope this doesn't happen again. He knows it. He's not aware of it, right? But, you know, whether he says maybe he's got reasons for why it happened previously that I'm obviously not aware of. He was there. I wasn't. Maybe he knows DeAndre Hopkins had a sprained thumb that went unreported and we couldn't throw to him. Or, you know, my right guard was hurt. Nobody knew about it or whatever. I mean, there's a million different reasons. But either in his mind, it's not worth mentioning, it's not worth addressing, and he's got it figured out in his own mind, or he's like, screw that, that wasn't my fault. Like, that's the part that worries me a little bit.
I want people to hear next what he said about Daniels' rib. And while he didn't use the words to say he's better now than he was a month ago or feeling healthier, he did allude to the fact that clearly he was playing through something, it seemed like. I'll let you be the judge and listen to that audio next, and then we'll take your calls. If that's the case, right? Daniels is getting healthier. They feel like he's, after this break, finally going to be the best he's been in terms of the rib in weeks. Why shouldn't he break out against Dallas? Do you think this is the bounce back coming out party again for Daniels in this offense, or will the struggles continue? 800-636-1067 to chime in on Grant and Danny. King George High School prom stuff there, Stammer. Little Ursher. Yeah, Danny, you sleep. This was way after you were in high school.
I've got the appropriate amount of awake on this one. This is when I was still like going out. So what I would do is leave the house after dark and go to a location that served alcoholic beverages, and I would see people in low light. Crazy. I wouldn't do that now.
This was the good stuff. This song makes me think about senior prom. Who's got the beat that make your booty go? It's Lil Jon.
It is Lil Jon.
Lil Jon is
Lil Jon's the guy. That's
He's
who it
the
is.
Man for the job. Is
You want to know who it is? I've been racking my brain for it. It's Lil Jon. That's
I'll
the person.
Tell you, that's always fun to like read the lyrics of a rap song.
I think it's a 10 out of 10.
Take that and rewind it back. Lil Jon has the beat that make your booty go. Take that, rewind it back. Usher has the voice that make your booty go. You know, just work your way through
the
lyrics. Such a good bit.
All in on that bit.
That might be a fun thing to do, actually. Let's get Clary. Maybe we could work this tomorrow from Falls Church. Let's find some rap lyrics that would be fun to have Clary just read. I think that could be really fun.
Just like an essay. The Notorious B.I.G. writes, and just sort of like Dear Abby type letters. Yeah.
Right. Chris Russell, when he was on MLB Network Radio with me many, many, many years ago at Sirius XM, once read a, I don't even think it would have been a tweet, it would have been too early, but like some type of public exchange that a baseball player had had where he was like saying terrible things to someone in like a it was actually, I think it was like a domestic issue or something. But Russell reading it in like a dramatic way in this, and it was literally on a text message the way you just type out shorthand.
Mm-hmm.
Still one of the funniest things I've ever heard on the radio. So good. But as we welcome you back on Grant and Danny, we are talking about Sunday's Commanders-Cowboys game. I think it's going to be a huge bounce back for the offense and a get-right game for Jaden Daniels. Danny's not as convinced. We've been going through some of the audio of what Cliff Kingsbury thinks has been ailing the offense, why they're going to be better. It's pretty clear they think the lack of practice time for Daniels over the last few weeks has been a major issue with the passing game, the timing therein. But one other clip we should play is Kingsbury on the rib and on whether he was calling plays differently over the last several weeks based on Daniels' rib injury against the Panthers that he played through. And this is what he had to say about that.
I'm not going to divulge what we did while he was, I would say, more banged up, but hopefully we play better this week. I'll just say that.
While he was more banged up, there's an acknowledgement uh-huh. that he's been playing through something, right?
Yeah.
Which I think is common sense, except it kind of goes against the Dan Quinn, like, this is not a factor, this has nothing to do with anything, this is not why we're not playing well. I mean, Kingsbury, not willing to talk about play calling, understood, no problem. But he is acknowledging there was a point where he was pretty banged up. If that's still a topic on the 21st of November, I can't quite figure out why he played on the 27th of October. But I'll just throw my hands up and defer on that one.
Indeed. Yeah, because we're into that place again. I mean, Matthew McConaughey's character in True Detective said it best, the time is a flat circle. We're doing this again. Where, what's the difference between hurt and injured and cleared and healthy and 100%? Nobody is. Blah, blah, blah. I just, the semantics of it are exhausting. You go around in circles on it. But it's, listen, this is not Klay Thompson coming back out with a torn ACL to hit his two free throws and then trying to, you know, maybe stay in the game. It's not that. I don't think anybody ever said it was. So it's not there. It's also not like 0.0 impact, no bruise, not even a hair on your forearm was damaged. It's more than zero. It's less than 100. And, you know, where it is in terms of the risk and what's bothering him, all I've ever argued is that it's a factor, is that it's bugging him. That's it. You know, and that's led to a couple different things here there. I think it's up to the eye of the beholder. It'd be up to him, you know, with truth serum as to how effective or, you know, how impactful that was to how he was playing and, you know, what was called or otherwise. But, yeah, I mean, that acknowledgement, certainly it's like, yeah, the closer to the injury, it probably hurt him a little bit more than it hurts now. And maybe there's something where he got dinged against Pittsburgh and it was bothering him. We have no idea. But it's not to the point that he shouldn't be playing or this is malpractice or any of those conversations we had 12 years ago.
Let's go to Matt, who's in Fairfax, on Grant and Danny. What's up, Matt? How are you?
I'm doing well, man. How are you guys?
Good, buddy.
Chilling.
All right. Cryptic Cliff. okay, so why I don't think it's the solving of the Kingsbury riddle that is the issue and why arrows point toward a return to form for the offense. So I'm just thinking, if it's the Kingsbury riddle that, and it takes time to solve it, well, he's coached elsewhere. There's already film on him that if they'd solved the riddle, they'd solved the riddle, and the riddle would have been solved, and people would have been like,
but
dealing
this is
with
a different offense, right?
Game
different
one this year.
Players,
well,
different run
well,
concepts.
Yeah, but it's Cliff's offense, and I would say, I mean, I know there's differences, but Murray and Kyler and Jane Daniels, they're not dissimilar in style. They're shifty, they're quick, they, you know, extend the play, blah, blah, blah. You know, Connor Robinson, you know, we both got tight ends, D-Hop, Terry, whatever you want. It's still Cliff's offense. It's been around the league. Another thing I'd mention concerning that is this. Quinn, in his hiring, said, when I hire my OC, I'm looking for a guy I didn't like preparing for. I'm looking for a guy I had trouble stopping. So I think Quinn believes in Kingsbury and hired him for a reason. So it might be the Kingsbury riddle. I don't think it is.
It's a great point.
Fair enough,
why
yeah.
I think why I think we're pointing in the right direction for resurgence here, a couple reasons. And it kind of plays into it not being the riddle as well. What I saw is we played some tough defenses, and I also saw Jaden not being super accurate anymore. Like, we'd be kind of cruising down the field, and then I see a guy streaking across the field with two defenders a couple steps behind him, and instead of hitting him in stride and it's this big play, it hits him in the back foot.
Yeah, the throws haven't been there the same way. Appreciate the phone call, man. Sorry we got to jump. But, yeah, so my contention was some of that's related to the rib, where he's not stepping into throws, doesn't feel as comfortable, getting into bad habits. Those have been obvious. Anybody that's watching has watched him fall away, spin off of throws, not step into things the same way. Some of that could just be good defenses, entirely possible. Some of it could be uncertainty. Some of it could also be discomfort. Some of it could also be a bad habit that's formed. There's a million different explanations possible.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Where is this rivalry? Where is the passion compared to where it once was? I want to go a little State of the Union on Cowboys, Commanders. I almost said the old name because they're inextricably linked.
Yeah, right.
Commanders and Cowboys aren't, despite the alliteration. That's next on the Fan.